So we thank them who rose from the dead. The dead could not hold him. The dead said, oh, the earth was just shaking and said, Master, why have you hidden yourself here? And the earth gave him up. The sea was ready just to be a carpet for him to walk on. And so he walked on the shores, on the sea. This is the God that we worship. The God who called Abraham when he was a pagan person. Abraham was not a Christian. He didn't know God. He was worshiping. He was an idol worshiper. So don't think Abraham was just a righteous man right from the beginning. He was an idol worshiper. When God called him and said, come out from your house. I will take you to a place. I will make you a great nation. This is the God that we worship. The God who is able to multiply. The God who says, come out of the grave, Lazarus. And Lazarus came out from the grave. The God of grace, the God who forgives. This is the God that we are talking about, and this is the God that we worship. Maybe you are here and you are contemplating, I've worshiped the Lord for a long time. I don't see things coming forth. And sometimes you begin to say, oh, I want to go back to the world. How many of you have been tempted to go back to the world? Or have been tempted to go back to the world? Or have been tempted to give up God? I have. You have not. You are blessed. You are talking the truth. You have not been tempted. Never. I alone have been tempted. Oh, then Satan is really behind me. Yes, sometimes we lose faith. We become desperate, we become weary, we become tired after praying, fasting, doing whatever we can to live honest life. And then what happens? Nothing comes. Then we begin to panic and we begin to doubt, is there God? Your conception about God does not change him. He is still God. He is still in control. Whether you believe God or you don't believe God, he is God. And I did not make him God. Neither did you make him God. Right from the beginning, he was God. I am. You don't need to call him God before he becomes God. You need to call Satan God before Satan becomes God. We don't need to call God God. And say God does not need your worship. He does not need you to give him advice. He's the architect, the author and finisher of our faith. He began everything. And he will end up with him one day. The Israelites have been walking with God for a very, very long time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to listen to your word. We pray that you yourself will speak into our hearts, change our mind, our mindset. The Lord God, we always tune to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Let your word that is coming through me be a blessing to all of us. Use me as a vessel to deliver your word. I'm only a servant, and you are the master. Take control of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The Israelites have always been a nation of problems. There were people who just go to God and go back to the world again, go to God, and then they'll go back again, just like sometimes some children do. They'll be very stubborn, go back to the parents, and go back to the world again. That was the life the Israelites were living. Right from the onset, when God created the heavens and the earth, man started trying to be independent himself, not dependent on God in any way. With this mindset, Satan came and tempted Eve, our mother Eve. You see that fruit hanging there? You can eat it. And then you become just like God. You have your own kingdom. You have people to serve you. And you know women like shopping. So Adam and Eve went shopping. Was shopping. And then he came to the tree and started looking at the thing again. Oh. That it looks so beautiful. It looks so nice. Oh, Should I eat? Should I not eat? Then Satan came and said, oh, eat it. You will not die. And of course, she ate it and she did not die. But spiritually, she died. She took it and ate it. And when her husband came, I'm sure Adam did not just receive it. He might have really tried to urge him into that. Adam, you know I've eaten it alone. I don't want to be alone to be accused. And Adam, should I eat? Should I not eat? Adam also took it, ate it. And then just after they had finished eating and they were okay with it, and God came down, said, hey, where are you hiding? Because they went to hide themselves. So man has always tried to be alone. Man don't want God's sovereignty over him. Man want to be self-independent, do things on his own. We see this in the world today. Man is trying to provide food to feed us. And what is the result of it? We see sicknesses and diseases because all this food we eat are one way or the other polluted. They are industrialized products that they make so much food to feed them. God says, just be so much in this world. God has a reason. He knows that there will be a time that there will be 20 billion people, and God knows how to feed us. Why should we try to increase the food product of the world to feed the people? Yes, we should have plans and objectives, but there are some things that we should leave to God. But we try to take things upon ourselves to do that. And the topic I like to us to see these days, who is the king of your life? Who is the king? And I just want us to go to the book of Joshua first, chapter 24, we're reading from the 15th to the 24th verse. We do not have so much time because of the Lord's Supper, so I'll read through. Joshua 24, 15 to the end. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us out, who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a generous God. He will not forgive you your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you. After he has been good to you, God has been good to us. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. This is the God that we are talking of, the God who brought Israel out of slavery. They were slaves. And during the time of slavery, they were worshiping other gods too. They were worshiping other gods in their tents. So they had that appetite of worshiping other gods. Many years ago, we were all slaves because we did not know God. But God set us free through the blood on Calvary. Now we've come to know him. But there are many things that will impede or try to stop us to walk right with God. Now Joshua knew all these things. Moses had died. Joshua has taken over. And before he died, he called the elders and gave them all these things and talked or discussed these things with the Israelites that they may know and will not forget about the living God we are talking about. So the Israelites were always trying to be independent. They didn't want God to rule over them. So there came a time, let's look at the book of Samuel, chapter 8. That's the main topic for the day. Chapter 8, we read from the verse 1. Samuel. When Samuel grew old, now Samuel has become old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. Now this man has become old. He served in the capacity of a judge. When you look up there, he was also a judge and a prophet. So he served Israel for a very long time. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways, just like the sons of Eli. They would not walk in the ways of their fathers, of their father. They were what? Corrupt. They were corrupt. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So don't think this is a new thing that have come today. These things have been there for many, many years. They would take bribes and they would pervert justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old. You have become old bone. We don't need you again. You've served your time. Go on retirement to the one day you are dead and you are gone. But we don't want your children again." So they came to him and said, "You are old. Old man, just sit somewhere." They said to him, And your sons do not walk in your ways." They were trying to find excuses to get away from God. "Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. All things are permissible, but all things are not good for us." This is what the Bible says. Just as all people are wearing blue dress, so I will also have to put on blue dress. All people are doing it, so I can also do it. This was their excuse. But they have forgotten that it was the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac who has brought them to this very stage. 6. "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' give us a king to lead us." They want a physical king. They want somebody they could see. They want somebody they could praise. They want somebody they can lie down for. They want somebody they can conspire with. They want somebody who will rule them with iron hands. They wanted somebody who would just be like the other kings around them, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Hittites, and all these lands. They were hard kings in Egypt. They wanted this. Sometimes we just want to get up from our homes and be adventurous, go to the other world and see what is happening there. I was talking to a sister this morning. Sometimes you bring a child up, and then in the fear of the Lord, and one day the child will just go away from God. But God will not let him loose. God has already chained him. Because so far as you've dedicated that child to God, you don't need to be afraid. The child will surely come back one day. Like the prodigal son. He went to the father and told the father, "Father, I've been waiting for a long time. I think you will die tomorrow, but you are not dying, so please give me all the inheritance. Give me my part. It is taking too a long time." The father said, "Oh, my younger, don't worry. Be just quiet and look at me. One day I will give it to you." No, father, give me my share." So father gave it to him. Persistently, he was asking the father. Yes, the Bible says we must pray persistently. But sometimes we ask God what we do not even know. There was a time the mothers of John and James, and they went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, just give us this position. One day you die, one day you sit on the throne, just where will my children be? Let one be the defense minister," because he was always holding the sword and he caught somebody's ear and was like Peter. And then maybe James will be the defense minister, and maybe Judas will no more be the finance minister because he is sometimes putting his hand in the bag. And Jesus said, you do not know what you ask. Sometimes we ask God what we do not even know, whether it will be helpful to us. Now, if you should ask God for a Rolls Royce, you don't even have a garage. You don't even buy the petrol into the car. You cannot maintain it. And tomorrow, you have thieves or robbers or people hanging around because they think you have money. In Africa, we say when we are eating and you cut the food, you must put what will pass in your mouth, what will really go into your mouth, that's what you put in. You don't just take the big bread and put it all in your mouth. Take the little that you can. So sometimes we ask God what we do not know. This was what they were asking for. Using excuses that you are old, you can't serve again, your children are corrupt. Of course the children were corrupted. They took bribes, they were doing all these things, perverted justice, doing whatever they wanted. Like the children of Eli, they would go around and even abusing their rights as children of a priest. Let's go on. Say, this displeased Samuel. Samuel took it personally. Are they rejecting me or what? So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and seven other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to me, them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. The king who will reign over you will do. When we try to get out from the midst of God, from the church, from the community of Christians, and we go to the world, we are influenced by the laws of the world. We are covered by darkness. And things in the world will bring us to nowhere. We can search and we will never find peace in the world. The world is not for us. So far as you have become a Christian, be still in the Lord. When we read the book of John, it tells us that Jesus Christ is the gardener, he is the vine, and we are the branches. And unless we stay in him, we cannot bear fruit. We must stay connected to God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He knows what is good for you. God does not take pleasure in your suffering. Yes, suffering is part of Christianity. When I tell you what I've gone through since in Germany here, you may not believe it. I've gone through very, very hard times. But with God, all things are possible. There was a time I could not bend. I had so much back pains. But now I can bend. Is God not wonderful? God is going to do the same thing in your life. Stay connected to him. Wait for the right time. At the right time, Jesus Christ was born. John the Baptist had to come first before Jesus Christ could be born. If John the Baptist had not come first, Jesus Christ would not have been born. Maybe another time. So God plans his own time. The book of Ecclesiastes says, in everything there's a time. So you have been praying for a long time. The answers are not coming forth. There is a time. That doesn't mean that God has just put his hands in his ears and say, I will not listen to you. God listens to every prayer. But then you have to sometimes wait. Of course, God provides our needs more than our wants. He provides our needs. God knows I must eat. I'm a hungry man. I must eat hamburger. So God will give me food. God knows I must pay for my rent. I must pay for my rooms. I must do this. God provides. And sometimes God gives us our wants. Not always. Because when your child comes to you and tells you, Mama, give me the knife, will you give that child a knife? Will you give your child a knife? You will not give your child a knife because you know that it can cut the child. Just a little child. Worshiping God is a practical thing. It's not a way that you have to knee down in your room, make yourself naked. No, it's a relationship, just like you and your father. Talk to your father. He's your father. And God loves it when you come to him and say, Father, Father, I love you so much. That's like a little child goes to the mother and says, Mama, it's Labor Day. And the mother is so happy. God loves that when we go to him and say, Mama, I love you. Though I'm weak, though I'm dirty, I'm like this. But you know, fathers and mothers, they love their children. They asked for something that was too much for them. Now, who can tell me? I just want to that we all be part of the preaching. What the presence of this world they are doing. God says, this president who will come, this king who will come, this minister who will come, that you want, your heart is desiring for, they will be like this. Just stand up and tell me what the presence of this world they are doing. Just 1 minute. Who can just stand up and tell me what the presence of this world they are doing? Are they corrupt? Oh, so you know how? So you can speak. Don't speak right away. What are they doing? They are what? They are corrupt. We see them taking our lands. We see them taking us to court. We see them lying. We see them corrupted, and they are doing all things. Because sometimes they think that we are foolish people. That's why we have voted them into power. They think you are foolish. That's why you voted them into power. So they begin to manipulate things, amass, gather all the money in the country, take it into their own bank accounts, and do all sort of things. God says, this is the leader who you are desiring for will do. And that is the same thing the enemy does. When we go back to the world, the enemy is corrupt. Satan is corrupt. He is the father of all lies. This is what the Bible says. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He has nothing to offer to you. So he will corrupt your life with drugs, with sex. He will corrupt your life with many evil things. So we should stay tuned to God alone. Because he is the righteous one. There's no other place you can find peace apart from Jesus. There's nowhere you can find peace. With all your troubles and tribulations, you have peace. You can sleep. You can get up and do whatever you want. Go to the hospitals. I was once in the cranking house, and I was really down. How many people are sick there? Out of their mind and behaving in all sort of ways. People are sick all over the world. But just by your sicknesses, you are so in the Lord and you are so strong and you are still moving about. Our God is a living God. Just as I said, he's the God of the living. He is not dead. He died and rose again because the earth could not hold him. The waters could not hold him. He said, I lower myself for you to walk on me. Birds of the air and the trees, they all sing and praise him. When you get up in the morning, just listen to the birds as they sing. They are all praising the Lord. And you, the clay, will not appreciate God. We are clay. Satan once told God, who is man that you are mindful of him? Just as a simple clay. We are just very little, but we are proud. We are not thankful to God. We don't appreciate what God does. I was telling a sister many of the times we complain about the weather. Too much sunshine. Oh, it's too much rain. God says, I will make four weathers for you: winter, summer, autumn, and the other one, spring. So if you don't like any of them, that is your problem. So God is also a loving father. Now let's see what happens when we choose to go to the world. He said, Jacob struggled with God. Should we struggle with God to bless us against his will? Because Jacob struggled with God, the Bible says that he had a hip pain, a bone, that he went about the whole of his lifetime hipping, walking like this. Because he struggled with God. Sometimes we will be persistent, asking God for that, for that, for that, and then God will give it, grant it to us, because we want it. But then it becomes a thorn in the flesh. So we must ask, not lustfully, as the book of James says, but we must ask according to what? The will and desires of God. If we do that, we will not have a thorn in our flesh. So the king, the Bible says, he will, verse 12, he will assign some to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his land, his ground, and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipments of his chariots. Then he will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards. We know the story of Naboth's vineyard when the land was taken from him by the king Ahab. These presidents, today we don't have kings in many of countries, but we have another form of government, because it's the same man who was not happy with the system of government and said, we don't want kings again, now we want democracy. And the same democracy is only just a counterfeit of the old kingdom. The same things these presidents and ministers, I'm not using politics here. I don't use the puppet to do politics, but these are the things that they are doing. So we should be careful what we ask God for. On her birthday, as we know in the book of Luke, the daughter of Herod asked for the head of John the Baptist. Now you can imagine that. A little child goes to the father, the king, stepfather, and tells him, on my birthday, because the father has given the audacity to ask for whatever she wanted, and say, I just want the head of John the Baptist. And the head of John the Baptist was chopped off with blood just dipping down, with the eyes shooting like this, maybe the teeth just like this, and then presented to her. It's a horror, eh? John the Baptist, his head was cut off. Now the king, he says, goes on to say that the king would take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he would take for his own use. He would take it for his own use. He would take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king that you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. They had forgotten what their forefathers had promised to God and to Joshua, that we will serve the Lord no matter what. Will you continue to serve the Lord no matter what? Will you, in a year's time like this, still be in the Lord? Or will you be wanting somewhere in the world, seeking wasteful things? Our life on this earth, the Bible says, is only 70. And if we even have strength, God will give us more years. So if you are 50 upward, then you must know that you have maybe 20 years more to live. Amen? But the people refused to listen to Samuel. They were so adamant. They were ready to refuse him. They said, no, we don't want you as a king. Because Sometimes the presence of God, they could not go. These judges like Gideon and other prophets were always in between. They would bring the message from God like Moses to the people. So they wanted a king. They could really go to him and talk with him, and they themselves would become ministers, sub-ministers, and governors. This was all they were seeking for. We want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Sometimes God will listen to us because we are persistent. We persistently pray to God, God give me this, God give me this, God. And God will give it to us. But in the end, it becomes a problem for us. Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, everyone go back to his town. Now the 12 tribes of Israel were a nation in name only. They were a nation in a name only. They had no central government at all. Since conquering Palestine, they had worked together only during emergencies. In times of emergency, they worked together. When inspired, judges, military heroes like Gideon, Deborah, and Samson came forward to lead them into battle. In Samuel's time, though the Philistine military threat wouldn't go away, Israel needed superior leadership. But Samuel was an old man. His sons made unappealing successes. What could be done? Looking around them, the tribes noticed that virtually every other country had a king. A king offered two advantages. First, he provided central government. Second, since his sons would normally succeed a king, when a king dies, normally the sons will succeed him. The nation did not have a crisis of leadership. Its leader got old, so the leaders of Israel asked Samuel to appoint a king. The idea seems to have been popular with everyone except Samuel and God. Samuel may have been displeased that he and his sons were being rejected. God made a deeper objection. Israel was rejecting his leadership. God told Samuel to warn the leaders that a king would oppress his own citizens. Kings and governance and laws and whatever we have, they oppress the people. The people who vote them into power, they oppress them. They do not know you until the time of election. Then they come about again. You don't see them. And they ride in big cars and in Rolls Royces, and they will tell you there's no money to develop the country and all sort of things. They'll empty your pockets. They will pull you to work for them. They will tell you what you must go on retirement. Now they're taking it to 67 years. 67 years, how will you go to work? You go maybe with a walking stick. You see, this is how governments all over the world are. They oppress their own people. Get the money from them, they tax them, and do all sorts of things. Of course, we need tax to develop the country. So governments are not liable. They will all stand before the throne of grace. The fact of the matter is that no matter what, all these leaders will stand before the throne of judgment one day. God told Samuel to warn the leaders that a king would oppress his own people. Samuel warned of the military drift, of high taxation, of the king's power to make people into slaves. Was God's choice? Was God against a king? Some scholars see the monarchy as a marvelous example of God's using a choice against his will. God counseled Israel against the very institution that ultimately produced King David. And through him, we have the King of Kings, that is Jesus. Even though they asked for a wrong thing at the wrong time, God used that thing to produce David. And then later on, we see King Jesus himself. Israel, as I said in the beginning, were always going away from God. And many are the times that we try to go away from God because of the experiences in this world, the problems and the tribulations and the hardships and troubles come, and sometimes you turn to the right, there's no help. You turn to the left, there's no help. When you turn to, you look forward, there's no help. And then sometimes you become desperate. And then you say, is there a God? Your conception about God does not change the fact that he is God. He is still God. You need to be patient. You need to exercise a lot of restraint. When you are worshiping God, you need to be patient with God. For he knows what is good for you. He knows your cry. He knows what you are feeling right now in your heart. Today, people will tell you, in Europe, we don't have other gods. In Africa and other nations, they have God. We have other gods here too. In different forms, of course. Calling upon other deities, worshiping and praying and consulting the spirit of the dead. Are they not all here? I don't deny the fact that I've been 30 years in Germany. I know a lot of things here. So it is. These things are all over the world. People build houses here and they put something there and they tell you it is only a joke. It's only a joke. What a joke is that? When a ship is built and they want to anchor it into the sea, they put wine on it or schnapps and then they heat it. But whom are they offering that drink to? That is funny. They will tell you. It's fun. But they are all here. Pride can become a god to us. When you belittle other people, this means you are higher than them. It can also become a god. Traditions can also be a god to us. Or we do rituals. Can also be a god to us. Anger can also be a little god in your heart. Disrespect. You are respectful to your husband. You don't respect your husband in any way. That's why the Bible says everything. Woman, you must respect your husband that he may love you. The Bible knows that many women don't respect their husbands. That your husband may love you. And husband, don't say that because you don't respect you, I will not love you. You also love your wife, even though that's not respect you, but try to live with her. We are children of the living God. We are children of light, and we must live differently. Because Satan is already behind you. He's after you. The moment you decide to become a Christian, you've declared war against Satan. The moment you decide to become a Christian, whether you like it or not, you have put on the uniform of salvation, Satan is against you. Whether you like it or not, whether you worship God or not, whether you come to a prayer ministry or nothing, Satan is against you. So women, try also to respect your husbands. And husbands, let us love our wives. Without women, we cannot go shopping. Amen. And the king will be proud. The king will be proud. The king will amass wealth. And he will go all the way to take anything from us. And let us just be small. Just so little. As somebody will say, low quality human being. They think they are the high quality human beings. And we who are their subjects, are just low-quality human beings. This is why they see themselves. They see themselves like God. And people make them God. And they begin to oppress us. This is what Satan has been doing. But physically, you see this way. But spiritually, you see Satan doing the same thing. He oppresses us with sicknesses, with diseases, with characters. If you want to be free, Jesus says, I stand at your door and I'm knocking. You can imagine a house owner standing at the door knocking himself. a house owner. He said, I stand at your door and I knock. If you will open me, I will just come in and I will die with you. All your sins will be taken away from you. I will connect you and you can connect to me. You can speak to me. You can come to me anytime. I will comfort you in times of sorrow. In times of joy, I will be there with you. I will hold your hands across the Jordan. And I will hold your hands across the sea. I will be with you to the end of the time. I will never abandon you. I am the good shepherd who will not run away from lions and from dangerous animals. He will be with you. He will comfort you. He will hold you in his arms and say, my baby, I love you. My child, I love you. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Maybe one of these days you will be tempted to leave. But then think about this passage that came and say, no, I will continue to stay in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings unto this reading and learning of his word. Amen.